If the Texas defense is getting the better of the offense in spring practices, what does that mean for the offense?
You are Locked On Longhorns, your daily podcast on the Texas Longhorns. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Longhorns, the show. Jonathan Davis, your host. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel Sportsbook, the official sportsbook of Locked On. Make every moment more. Visit FanDuel.com/LockedOn today to get started. On today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, we're talking Texas football, spring practices, all the updates you need on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball. We are talking Texas basketball, and Tyrese Hunter has declared for the NBA draft but will maintain college eligibility. What does that mean for Rodney Terry and his roster? And last but not least, the Texas baseball team did make it to 16 straight wins on Friday, but lost Saturday and Sunday to lose the weekend series to Oklahoma State. So we discuss all of that and more on today's episode of Locked On Longhorns, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. A few housekeeping notes before we get into the Texas football team and spring practices. The first is you will not hear my smoke alarm on today's episode or any episode moving forward. Y'all bullied me on my episode last week talking about my smoke alarm. There are people said they were walking around their house because they thought it was their smoke alarm. So I'm sorry for that. I recorded, did not hear it. Listened to the episode again, did not hear it. And then I posted, read the comments, and all of a sudden I start hearing it myself. So took care of it. Y'all won't hear it. But if my track record tells me anything, y'all will hear it before I do. I need to get my ears checked clearly. Secondly, great first opening weekend of Major League Baseball. Three undefeated teams in baseball right now, and your Texas Rangers are one of them. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we're here, right? I know Rangers fans, we thought maybe we were a year or two away, but we're competing already. Had a bad start from Jacob DeGrom opening day. Did not matter. Came back from five runs down. Won that game. 29 runs in three games. And look, I know Astros fans, y'all have had a great run in the AL West. Y'all have had a great run in the state of Texas. But all I'm saying is, looks like sooner than later, the Rangers are taking that back. All right, let's talk about the Texas football team and spring practices. And one thing we've been hearing is that the defense is getting the better of the offense thus far. Now, you have to take that with a grain of salt. And as fans, it really doesn't matter to us because all of these players will be suiting up for the Texas football team this year on offense and defense. So, you know, if anybody should be getting the better of the Texas offense, it's the Texas defense, and iron sharpens iron. But you take it with a grain of salt because it's not a direct simulation of what you'll see on the football field during the season. And sometimes it's ones versus two. So if it's the first team Texas defense versus Malik Murphy and the second team Texas offense, I would expect the first team Texas defense to win that matchup. But as we've seen in spring practices last year and any year prior, there are themes you start to hear during the spring that hold true throughout the offseason and into the season as well. Last year we heard about inconsistent quarterback play, you know, during the spring. And that was definitely true throughout the season. Last year, we heard about the Texas run defense stifling our offense in the run game. And our run game was inconsistent at times in the Alabama game, the TCU game, the Washington game, the first half of the Iowa State game. And our Texas run defense was the best we had saw at the 40 acres, best we had seen at the 40 acres in a while, right? So there are some things you're hearing right now in spring practices that will be true throughout the offseason and into the season, because this is where you set the foundation of who you are as a football team and where you set the foundation of who you will be from September to December. So if the defense is getting the better of the offense, what does that mean for each unit? And let's start with the offensive side of the ball, who I still fully expect to be really good, better than last year, and a top 15 offense overall in the country. But I think it means three things. One, I think we're all waiting for Sark to bring that 2020 Alabama offense to the University of Texas. And I think the Texas offense will be really good this year. They're really talented, not as talented as that 2020 Alabama offense was. But I'm not sure the offense is at the point yet to where they can just go out there every week, put 45 on their opponents, and defenses just have absolutely no answer to what we're doing. I still expect at times, you know, the offense may lack some execution. There may be some times where we're not able to sustain drives. And I think there's going to be some games where we have to grind it out. And maybe there's some low scoring games like TCU or Iowa State last year, right? Even though we're going to be a top 15 offense overall, that's my prediction. Two, we've added a lot of talent to the offensive line over the last two recruiting cycles, but I still don't think we're at the point yet to where we can consistently dominate that matchup in the trenches week in and week out. And I think for any offense, not just for Texas, until you can do that week in and week out on the offensive line, there's a ceiling to how productive your offense can be. Third, I think we have one of the 3 to 5 most talented quarterback rooms in the country with Quinn Ewers, Malik Murphy, and Arch Manning. But I think they're all relatively inexperienced and young, even Quinn Ewers, but especially Malik Murphy and Arch Manning. And two, I think there's clear room for development in all three quarterbacks. So I think that's probably the reason why you're seeing the defense get the better of the offense thus far in spring practices, even though I expect this to be a top 15 offense in the country when all is said and done. And what does this mean for the defense? Two, I think it means that we have a really good defensive staff, right? Led by Pete Kwiatkowski as defensive coordinator, really good position coaches. And I think it means that going into this season, the defense might be better than we expected, a la last year. And we have a lot of talent and depth on that side of the ball. And whatever you lost on that side of the ball last year, I think you either brought back players that were as good as what you lost or better than what you lost last year. When you look at the defensive line, you lost Keandre Coburn and Mora Ojomo, two really good players. But I think Tavondre Sweat was as good as Keandre Coburn was last year. And I think Alfred Collins and Byron Murphy can pick up the slack in what you lost in Ojomo and Coburn. You lost DeMarvian Overshone and Deontay Tucker Dorsey at the linebacker position, but you bring back Jalen Ford, an All-American. You lost Deshaun Jameson at corner, but you bring back Jahdae Barron and Ryan Watts, who played better than Deshaun Jameson last year. And then you lose Anthony Cook at the safety position, and you bring in Jalen Catalan, who is an All-SEC performer. So great coaching, great talent, and great depth on that side of the ball. On the defensive side of the ball, and we should expect a lot from this defense this year. And it shouldn't necessarily be a huge shock that they're getting the better of the offense thus far in spring practices. And like I said, it's a good thing because they're all suiting up for Texas. So just because they're getting the better of the offense thus far does not mean that we should not have high expectations for the offense this season. It just means maybe we should raise our expectations for the Texas defense. And when you talk about some defensive standouts or players that have been worth mentioning over the last couple of spring practices, the first one that stands out, and it's a really good sign, is Alfred Collins, right? And we've been waiting on that five-star talent to break through since 2020. And from all reports, we're hearing that this is the most likely, you know, season we're going to see it, because they're saying he's 315, he's solid as a rock, but he still looks explosive. But the mental is catching up to the physical, right? We know he's always had, you know, the physical profile, and he's always been really talented. And, you know, we've seen at times it would flash, right? He would jump off the screen with certain plays, but it was the consistency, right? How often would we would see it? And the answer would be not often enough. But they're saying this year they expect it, you know, in a contract year for Alfred Collins, where he expects to head to the NFL after this season, it's starting to click, right? And they're seeing it come through on, you know, a more consistent basis. And what I love about Alfred Collins is, there's a lot of players on this defense that you have to kind of put in a box, right? You would say, okay, he's great doing this, but he's not as great doing this, especially on the defensive line. Alfred Collins is not that type of player, right? He's somebody that's strong enough and dominant enough to hold his own on the interior defensive line, you know, kind of occupy blocks and create room for your linebackers to make plays. He's somebody that can obviously make plays in the run game himself, but he's also somebody who can be very explosive in terms of a pass rush as well. So he can do everything at a really high level on that defensive line if he's consistent and he's playing to his full capabilities. And it sounds like this season we have the best chance of seeing that version of Alfred Collins. I was really high on Anthony Hill being a day one starter, coming in as the number one linebacker in the country. But we saw from the first spring practice that David Bender would get that first shot in the DeMarvian Overshone role. And what we've heard is he's taking full advantage of that, right? They're saying that he may not be as fast in terms of straight line speed as DeMarvian Overshone, but he's shown up really fast in terms of his play, right? He has a lot of football speed, and he's shown himself to be a plus starter thus far in spring practices and somebody they expect to be a plus starter throughout the season. So, you know, I expected Anthony Hill to be a day one starter, but the fact that you have a player that you're more comfortable putting out there right now and David Bender just shows the talent and the depth on this football team. And it allows you, the same way with Arch Manning and some of the other players on this football team with the true freshman, to bring Anthony Hill along slowly, because as talented as he is, he's still a true freshman and you would expect some growing pain. So if you have a player that has more experience, has been there and done that, has been in this system for 3 years now, if you could put him out there and start and have a plus starter, that bodes well for you. probably bodes better for you than having to put a true freshman out there. Keaton Crawford, we know that they're bringing Jalen Catalan slowly, right? Bringing him along slowly, managing his workload, coming off of that shoulder surgery. And Jaren Thompson and Keaton Crawford have looked really good at the safety position. We know that Jaren Thompson was really good last year. We know Keaton Crawford was really fast, but how much would he develop into being somebody they could count on week in and week out in that role? And while he's filling in for Jalen Catalan, he's looked really good, right? The football speed is catching up to the play speed. So when you talk about that rotation at the safety position, if Jaren Thompson and Jalen Catalan are your starters, with Michael Taft and Keaton Crawford behind them, I think you have four safeties who are all viable playmakers, and that's some really good depth at that position. At edge, we know that Baron Sorrell is likely holding down one spot, but on the other spot, you're talking about maybe a rotation between Justice Finkley and Ethan Burke, and I think that's really good for both players because Justice Finkley is really strong and quick at the point of attack. I think somebody who plays with a high motor and is really good at maintaining leverage and making plays in the run game, right? And Ethan Burke, he's somebody that can come in and is really talented as a pass rusher and probably works better on obvious passing downs. So I think working together, you know, they're a unit that can bring, you know, a lot to this defensive line and be really good in the run game and in the passing game. So I think, you know, we're kind of seeing them jockey back and forth throughout spring practices. I think that's going to continue into the season, and I think both of them bring a lot to the defensive line individually in terms of their strengths and their weaknesses. And then Malik Muhammad, you know, we talked about this Texas defense, the talent and the depth they have when the number one linebacker in the country probably is going to be sitting on the bench to start the season, or at least coming off the bench. The number two corner in the country is probably going to be coming off the bench in Malik Muhammad. And they said out of all of the true freshman enrollees, he's probably looked the most comfortable thus far. Just his ability to cover in man, cover in zone, his football IQ, his ability to come up and help out and run support. He's just a complete corner and somebody that looks like a future star at the 40 acres at that position. So the defense has looked really good thus far. We're going to continue the conversation about the Texas offense in spring practices in the next segment after a quick word from Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff, and now is your time to make it count. So go to BuiltSmartMadness.com to vote for your favorites. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built, the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're so amazing. You won't think they're good for you. What makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, they are all high in protein, low in sugar, and covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. I'm talking about this Texas offense, and I just want to reiterate that although we're hearing that the defense has gotten the better of the Texas offense in spring practices, that does not mean that the Texas offense has looked bad. That does not mean that the Texas offense won't be great this season, and it does not mean that we should not have high expectations for this Texas offense. Like I said, if anything, it means we should raise our expectations for the Texas defense that they're playing at a high level. And if they're going to struggle against anybody in terms of the Texas offense, you would want it to be against the Texas defense right now, because iron sharpens iron, and you can look at where you're struggling right now to make adjustments so that hopefully when you get into, you know, your season play against Rice, you don't make those same mistakes that you're making right now. When you talk about the offense, let's talk about the quarterback room. And we're hearing really good things out of the quarterback room. And like I said, you have to say this is one of the 3 to 5 most talented rooms in the country, with Quinn Ewers, Malik Murphy, and Arch Manning heading your top three. And with Quinn Ewers, they talked about him in the scrimmage on Saturday and the last spring practice on Thursday, is that he's just been steady and he looks a lot better than last year. We've talked about the confidence, the development, his, you know, development as a leader as well, not just on the football field. They said he's helping players out. He's been really vocal, really kind of been an extension of the coaching staff on the field, which is a really good sign for Quinn Ewers. And they said he's making the steady plays, right? He's not necessarily making the splash or the spectacular plays, but he's been really steady. And as we talked about in the last segment, we saw a lot of inconsistency from Quinn Ewers last year. There were times where he looked like one of the best quarterbacks in college football, and then there was times where he looked like he needed to be on the bench for Hudson Card, right? So it doesn't even matter to me if Quinn Ewers has a Heisman-type season or if Quinn Ewers lives up to the number one overall recruit in the country type hype, right? I would rather have a season full of consistency and steadiness from Quinn Ewers, right? As long as Quinn Ewers goes out there and gives us a chance to win every football game, I think this Texas team is talented enough to do just that. So as long as there's no inconsistency, in one game he looks like, you know, Colt McCoy, and then the next game he looks like, I guess, second half of the season Quinn Ewers, that's just who we'll compare it to. If he's steady week in and week out, this Texas team will have their best chance to make it to the Big 12 championship game next year, even if he's not showing us the spectacular that we were used to seeing at South Lake Carroll every single game. And in terms of Malik Murphy and Arch Manning, we're kind of hearing the same things, that they're both really talented. They're both making spectacular plays, but they're both young and inexperienced and have obvious room for development. So I think that's kind of the theme of this quarterback room thus far. Even with Quinn Ewers, there's still some development we need to see over the next 5 months for Texas to live up to the expectations they have this year. But the good thing is all three quarterbacks are on track to show that development heading into the season. Savion Redd at running back, I want to talk about him because, you know, we've heard good things about the running backs in every spring practice. And, you know, last year the running back room was more defined because you had Bijan and Roshan. You knew that they were going to get the touches. It was more so about who would be next in line if they got hurt or something happened. And you kind of already knew that Jonathan Brooks was in that role as well. And then Keelan Robinson was going to be kind of your utility player. It's really less certainty about the running back room this year. And like I said, they don't have the ceiling that the running back room had last year with Bijan and Roshan, but I think they have a really high floor. I think that you can expect great things from this running back room because there's so much talent in this room. You have more talent on the offensive line, and they'll be better developed than they were last year. And you have Steve Sarkisian pulling the strings on this offense, which, you know, even though Texas fans may have been down on him last year in terms of calling the offense, he's still one of the best offensive minds in the country, bar none. And when you look at this running back room, it's scary because there's no, if you're going to say we can model it off of last year and three running backs are going to have a consistent role on this football team, who are the three? Because you would expect it definitely to be Jonathan Brooks, who in his time at the 40 acres has averaged like 7-8 yards a touch. He's been explosive. And I think in a full-time role, he'll be a superstar this year. Cedric Baxter, the number one running back in the country, five-star. You don't bring him in to sit on the bench. He's going to have a role this year. Jaden Blue has been talked about as one of the most explosive players in, you know, on this Texas football team during the spring. He was the number one running back in the country before he opted out his senior year. I don't see how you keep him off the field. Keelan Robinson, we know what he can do in the run game and in the passing game, and he works so hard on special teams, you almost have to reward him on offense. I don't see how you keep him off the field. But Savion Redd, since he's made the transition from wide receiver to running back, they've talked about how natural a runner he is, how physical a runner he is, and how productive a runner he is in damn near every spring practice. So how do you keep Savion Redd off the field, especially what he can do out of the backfield as a pass catcher with him playing a whole year as receiver? And he can play quarterback, right? He was a Wildcat quarterback in high school. So I don't know how you keep Savion Redd off the field. The problem is I don't know how you keep the four running backs off the field before him I just mentioned. So there is a legitimate logjam at running back for this Texas football team. Five running backs that all have a high floor and all can be productive for this Texas football team this year is a problem for Tashard Choice and Steve Sarkisian. But if you wanted to have a problem, this is probably the best problem to have. When you talk about the wide receiver room, we've heard good things about every wide receiver on this team thus far. But really the two that we've heard the most about recently is A.D. Mitchell. He's mostly working with the ones now. And, I mean, as we've seen in the biggest moments in college football, four college football playoff games, four touchdowns, he's just a dog, right? And somebody that, you know, like Isaiah Nayor, can win down the field with his size or with his speed, but also can win in the intermediate with his route running. You just put the ball in his hands and good things happen. So that's what this Texas offense was missing last year, right? You had Xavier Worthy, you had Jordan Whittington, you had your big kind of fluid tight end and JT Sanders, but you just didn't have your big 50-50, 75-25 ball type receiver in A.D. Mitchell. They have that now. And then Casey Kane, really over the last week, a lot has been mentioned about his development and his route running, right? Especially something that he's really improved on from last season to this season. And I thought Casey Kane was always somebody that, you know, could have made plays for this Texas football team. And, you know, there were times where I thought they could have called on his number last year and they didn't. And then there were times where they did call his number last year in the Iowa State game and he didn't have the best game. So, I mean, just somebody, you know, you talk about depth in a room, to have somebody as your fifth or sixth, maybe even seventh receiver, as talented as Casey Kane, I mean, just shows you the talent and the depth on this football team on the offensive and side, defensive sides of the ball. JT Sanders and Gunnar Helm steady at the tight end position. Nothing really crazy to report there. And then when you talk about the offensive line, they're continue to get better. And they've said that there's a clear, I guess, line of delineation between the first team offensive line and the second team offensive line, even though Peyton Kirkland and Nito at guard on the second team offensive line have been really good. But the first team has been Kelvin Banks, right? Hayden Connor, Jake Majors, DJ Campbell, and Christian Jones. And so, you know, we're still waiting to see who that best five is going to be on the offensive line. But the good thing is, if that ends up being your best five, that's kind of been the rotation throughout the entire spring. In terms of the first team, they haven't been moving pieces inside and out in terms of, you know, moving people around, or, you know, one day Hayden Connor is your left guard, the next day is DJ Campbell, the next day is Cole Hudson, et cetera, right? There's been some consistency there. So if that ends up being your best five, that would have been your best five all throughout the spring and into the season. So there should be some chemistry based on the consistency we've seen with that unit. So some really good things for this Texas football team throughout spring practices as we get closer to the orange and white game on April 15th. But really the theme on the offensive and defensive sides of the ball is just really good coaching staff, you know, really good coordinators, really good position coaches, and a lot of talent and depth at every position on this football team. The two deep is going to be crazy, and it makes all the sense in the world why this team is favored to win the Big 12 championship this season. When you talk about the basketball team and Rodney Terry, right, they're in that process right now. Even though the season hasn't officially ended, it's ended for the Texas basketball team. We've seen a lot of movement in the transfer portal, and you're in that process where you have to do a lot of recruiting, right? You have to recruit in the transfer portal. You don't necessarily have to recruit your high school class because Ron Holland and AJ Johnson have reaffirmed their commitment, but you had to, you know, make sure they were locked in. That's been done. That's a box check. And you have to re-recruit your roster because you know you're losing Marcus Carr, Timmy Allen, Christian Bishop, and Serge Ibari Rice, but you have players in Dylan Dessous, Rowan Brumbaugh, Tyrese Hunter, Arterio Morris, and Dylan Mitchell, who all have eligibility to come back, but I guess to this point have not decided that they're coming back thus far. I know Brock Cunningham has locked in, and then a small forward, Alex, I don't know how to say his last name, so I won't butcher it, he's locked back in as well. But right now, your main focus is recruiting in the transfer portal and re-recruiting Tyrese Hunter, Dylan Mitchell, Dylan Dessous, Arterio Morris, and Rowan Brumbaugh to come back and be a part of this Texas basketball team next year. And the big news we got a few days ago is that Tyrese Hunter has declared for the NBA draft, but will maintain his college eligibility. And I think this is a really good thing for Tyrese Hunter because it allows him to test the NBA waters and see how teams feel about him, see, you know, where teams think his strengths are and what teams think his weaknesses are. And it also allows him to maintain his college eligibility. So if he doesn't like what he hears or he's not a guaranteed surefire NBA draft pick, then he can come back to college. And Inside Texas is reporting that he has assured Rodney Terry that if he comes back to college, it will be to play at the University of Texas, that he will not enter the transfer portal if he comes back to college. So depending on what he hears from the NBA, there's a chance that he plays at the University of Texas next year. And I think that's likely because when I look at Tyrese Hunter, he's a really good player, right? He can knock down the three. He can get to the rim when he's playing with confidence on the offensive side of the ball. And as we saw towards the end of the season, he's a really good defender. Now, I think the problem for Tyrese Hunter is, one, he was inconsistent, right? Looked really good at the beginning of the season, went through largely a two-month stretch where he was really ineffective next to Marcus Carr as that secondary playmaker. And then at the end of the season, he turned it back on, started to show his confidence, started to knock down that three, got to the rim a little bit more, and really was our best on-ball defender. But it's that inconsistency. And he's undersized at 6 foot. He's less than 6'1". And he doesn't necessarily have an elite trait. Like, he's a really good defender, can knock down the three at times, can get to the rim at times. But what is one thing you say he can do at an elite level game in and game out? I'm not sure that there's one thing with Tyrese Hunter you can say that about right now. And like I said, with him being undersized, I just don't see him as a surefire NBA draft pick this year. I think it would make more sense for him to come back to the 40 acres. And I don't think you would be just dead in the water without Tyrese Hunter next year. Like, I think you could still be a really good basketball team without Tyrese Hunter next year. But as we've seen in college basketball, experience matters. And there's not going to be too many teams that have a three-year starter next year at the point guard position. So you can't understate how much that means in college basketball. And I think if you can bring back Tyrese Hunter, that's going to be really good for your basketball team, bringing back some experience, a really good on-ball defender. And like I said, somebody that when he's on can definitely give you a boost on the offensive end. I think another thing it does, if you bring back Arterial Morris as well, that doesn't force you to bring five-star A.J. Johnson in as a starter right away. That's somebody that can come off the bench for you and just kind of focus on being a microwave scorer off the bench rather than your primary, you know, ball handler, decision maker, and playmaker. That's a lot to ask for a true freshman. And if Tyrese Hunter comes back, you can bring along A.J. Johnson more slowly, kind of like you did Arterial Morris last year, and kind of have him just be a cog in the system than the system himself. So I think it'll be really important for, you know, this Texas team to continue to put a full court press on Tyrese Hunter and make sure he comes back. But, you know, ultimately that's just going to come down to what the NBA says, because if he gets a good read for the NBA, he's going to go to the NBA, as he should. But like I said, based on what he did this season, I think that his best bet would be to come back to the University of Texas for 1 year and then make sure next year he's one of the 60 best players in the NBA draft. And then talking about the Texas baseball team really quickly, they are 20-9 on the season. They had a majestic run where they won 15 straight games, actually got it up to 16, with the last five being three games against Texas Tech, one game against Texas A&M, and then the first game of the weekend series against Oklahoma State. They won that game 5-3. Unfortunately, on Saturday and Sunday, they lost 1-4 and 3-4, losing the weekend series, losing that 16-game winning streak, losing their first series in what felt like a month, right? Probably over a month, you know, while they were on that 16-game win streak. But all in all, they started off 4-7, and now they're 20-9 and looking like one of the best teams in college baseball. And they have a game on Tuesday against Air Force. I fully expect them to bounce back and win that game and then continue on with a great run in Big 12 conference play. So good things for all of our teams talking Texas athletics. And let's hope for continued development for our Texas football team leading up to the orange and white game on the 15th. Hook 'em and peace.